2 Kings chapter number 4. If you were here last year on Friday evening, I read from this text. But I want to look at it in a different light. It is what God has put in my heart for this service. I have surely enjoyed the good choir singing. I'm glad I can rejoice because my name is written there. In fact, Jesus said to His disciples, "Don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." That word for written there means it's like a notary. It is something that is established. It cannot be changed. And I am glad that I know my name is written there. I have enjoyed this trio singing tonight. I like good harmony. I like what they're singing about. And thank God for singing. In fact, David liked a lot of singing in his rule over Israel. I believe it has its place in the church house. And thank God for preaching tonight. Amen. You're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word? I want to thank Brother David and Brother Rick and Brother Tim. I appreciate the invitation to be here these two nights. I am honored to be on these grounds preaching the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You can be seated this evening. It is easily seen that this widow woman is in a dire situation. She has a debt that is demanded to be paid by a creditor. She has already sold everything she has to try to alleviate her debt, and all that she has in the house is just a pot of oil. She has sold every bed, every piece of furniture, every chair, every vessel, every pot, anything that she had, she has already sold it, trying to pay her debt. And tonight, may I say that you and I cannot pay the debt that we owe. We don't have the resource. We don't have the ability. But I am thankful there is one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And as Brother Lindy Clear used to say, he owns the taters in the hills too. But I'm interested tonight in verse number 2. The Bible says here that Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." There are twice in this verse a phrase repeated. It is the phrase "in the house." In the house. Did you know that the answer to her problem was in the house? The answer to her need was in the house. So many today are trying to find answers everywhere else. They're turning to other venues and other sources of help. But I'm here to tell you tonight, whatever your need is, the answer is in the house. It's not walking away from a church house. It is not found in the world, but I'm glad the answer to your need and to mine is in the house. I want to just emphasize three things tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, I want to say something about the inquiry that is made by Elisha concerning in the house. He says to this handmaid, he says, what hast thou in the house? He makes an inquiry. He asks a question to this widowed woman. Now, his intentions upon asking this question can be seen as we look at how the Lord does himself. In our Lord's public ministry, many times he would rebut his Pharisaical enemies when they would pose a question to him. He in turn would ask them a question. But did you know the first question in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis chapter number 3? And it is the question of our Lord to Adam. He said, Adam, where art thou? Now, the Lord didn't ask that question to find out where Adam was at. He already knew. He wanted Adam to realize where Adam was at. And when Elisha asked this widow woman what she had in the house, he was wanting her to acknowledge her need. He wanted her to acknowledge and confess her inability, that she had no resource to meet the debt that was owed. And tonight, until we get to the place where we throw up our hands and confess, we cannot handle it. We don't have the ability. We don't have the resource. We're empty and we're useless in bringing our need about. That was his intention in inquiring about what was in the house. And may I remind you again that everything she ever needed was in the house. It was already there. She just didn't realize that it was already present right in front of her. I'm here to tell you, there are helps found in this blessed book. It's not just an ornament. It's not just something you hold in your hand. This Bible has life in it. It has answers in it. It has power within its pages. Bless his name. But there is also insight concerning this inquiry. When she asked this widowed woman the question, it was revealed to Elisha what she felt about that little cruet of oil. The word pot there is the word that means cruet. It spoke of a small flat bottom vase, wide at the bottom, narrowing down in the neck and flowering out at the top. I dare say this bottle of water could have filled it up five or six times. There wasn't much oil in the vessel. It couldn't hold very much. But when Elisha asked her what she had in the house, it gave insight as to how she felt felt about it. You see, to her, it was irreplaceable. The word oil, there is the word translated anointing oil. It was probably all that her husband had used as one of the sons of the prophets. It was something that had great value to her life. It wasn't worth much to be sold, but it meant a lot to her. She saw it as sentimentally valuable, but Elisha wanted her to see that practically it was valuable to meet her need. I say hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord can take a little crewing of all and pay the debt. She saw it as something sentimental, just like if you would pass being a preacher, your children would want to keep that preaching Bible. My children have already asked for the Bible. It's something of sentimental value. But Elisha wanted her to realize it's more valuable than just sentimental. He's wanting her to see that in that little cruet of oil holds the answer to the need that you're facing in your life. I say hallelujah. You can find the answer right here in this book. It has the ability to meet your need. And mine. She thought it was insufficient. You remember Jesus when feeding the 5,000. He came to the disciples. He said, give you them to eat. They said, well, Lord, we don't have enough money. Said, what money we got? We might be able to give a little morsel to each one. One of them said, Lord, we've got a little lad's lunch here, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? And this is how this woman was looking at this pot of oil. Lord, the only thing I've got is just a small pot of oil. But what can it do to meet my need? Aren't you glad God can take our little and make a lot out of it? Oh, bless his name tonight. She thought it was unable to work toward meeting her need. But it also, this inquiry gives us insight to what she felt about the creditor. You see, this woman did not become bitter when her husband died. This woman had not thrown up her hands and said, I quit. There's a lot of Baptists that when trouble has come in their life, they've wrung their hands and they've walked away. But thank God for this little widow woman's testimony. It shows us what she felt toward the creditor. Now I grant you, when he knocked on her door and said, I need payment, or your 2 boys are going to go into bondage, that was cold and cruel and uncalled for. I would agree with that assessment. But I'm here to tell you, the creditor had every right to demand payment of the debt according to law. He could demand that debt to be paid. And you know what she had been doing? She'd been trying to pay on that debt. And because she was paying on that debt, she is saying the law is right and the law is good. But her answer was not in and the law. And tonight, I'm here to tell you the law is right and the law is good. But the law did not have the answer for my need. I'm glad grace and mercy brought salvation to our soul. Oh, hallelujah to his name. You see, the law allowed him to do what he did. And the law granted him the right to demand payment. And this woman had been trying to pay the debt. You see, she kept doing what was right as long as she had the resource to do so. And the reason she has come to Elisha, she still wants to do right. She still wants to pay her debt, but she don't have anything to pay it with. And tonight, I'm glad when you get in trouble and hardships come and difficulties arise, it's not a time to throw up your hands and quit. You need to be like this widow woman. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep going to the house of God. Stay in that Bible. Keep going to your prayer place. Keep singing in the choir. Still have a camp meeting. I say hallelujah. Just do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. But number two, there is some instructions that Elisha gave to this widow. It involved two things. One was request. He said, go and borrow from thy neighbors vessels, empty vessels, and borrow not a few. He said, go to your neighbors and ask for any kind of vessels, large, small, in between size, round, square, whatever. Ask and request for all the vessels that you can get. That was her instruction. And tonight there was a second emphasis on her instruction. Not only was she to request, but I want you to get this. He said, return. Go back to your house. Shut the door on you and your two boys. You say, preacher, what does that mean? You would think all this widow woman had been going through. You would think maybe Elisha would have sent her to a different venue. That he would have had a more accessible and pleasant place for her to reside at. To take care of the need in her life. And but he says to her, you got to go back to that house. That cold, dark, empty house. That house where loneliness has been magnified numbers of times. That house where you've heard the creaks and the sounds during sleepless nights because you've lost your love and your husband and you don't know how you're going to pay your debt. You're going to have to go back to that house. You're going to have to go back to that place that reminds you of your loss and not your gain. Tonight, I'm just here to tell you, you can't ever have victory in your life over anything by running away from it. You're going to have to go back and face it head on. You're going to have to go back to where your heart of sorrow has been wrung out. You're going to have to go back to that place of coldness and emptiness. For you see, the oil was back at the house. Hallelujah! I'm glad to know where the oil is at tonight. David said, if I had the wings of a morning and I could fly away. He said, when I got to where I was going, he said, behold, thou art there. I know he's emphasizing the omnipresence of our God, but he is saying it is useless to run away from your troubles and your trials. They're going to follow you wherever you go. The only way you're ever going to rise above it, you're going to have to meet it face to face. You're going to have to go back to that house where you can get help for your life. Say, preacher, is that in the Bible? Why, sure it is. You remember in the book of Exodus, the nation of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And God had blessed them. And they were multiplying. And the Pharaoh said, we're going to have to do something about this. And he sent out a decree that every Hebrew boy was to be put to death, be thrown in the river. Of course, the midwives said to Pharaoh, by the time we get there, the Hebrew women have already delivered. But I'm here to tell you there were a multitude of Hebrew boys that were cast into that river and met their death. And Amram and Jochebed realized they were going to have a child. And when he was born, they named him Moses. They saw that he was a goodly child. They hid him for 3 months. And they hid him till they couldn't hide him no more. And you know what Jochebed did? Jochebed made an ark of the bulrush. And she pitched it within and without, put a lid on it, and laid that little baby in what raggedy a cloth she had, and told Miriam to go lay it at the doorstep of Pharaoh. No, that's not where she said to take him. She said, take him down by the flags of the river, that place where the death of Hebrew boys had taken place. Take him down there to that same river that we can still hear the screams echoing on the banks of mamas who saw their babies die. I say hallelujah. He rolled out into the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath. She saw the ark of the bulrush. Opened that little basket lid and Moses began to cry. And it touched her mother's heart. I'm glad, hallelujah. God knows how to meet our need. You got to face your troubles if you're ever going to overcome. A lot of preachers feel like, well, I ain't going back. Tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to face your difficulties and trust God's grace to rise above it. Number three, there is the industry that Elisha challenges this widow woman to be busy about. You see, he didn't tell her to go home and sit out on the porch and twiddle her thumbs and say, now God will send somebody by. That's the way most Baptist folk think it ought to be done. Now, I'm here to tell you, God could do it that way and could have done it that way. He's not tied or limited in what he does. He just wasn't going to do it that way. He wanted her to be busy. He wanted her to be laboring. He wanted her to be active in doing something. And you know what? It involved obedience. The man of God said, you take your two boys after you've got all those empty vessels and put them in the house and you occupy your two sons and mama, you go to pouring and let your sons take care of the vessels. Behind the shut doors, obedience. I'm just here to tell you, you ain't going to get nothing until you obey his voice in your life. When he deals with you about something, you better listen to him. Because disobedience will bring a curse, but obedience will bring blessing. But it also required opaqueness, or she had to shut the door. Now, I understand that symbolizes she was shutting the world out from her sons and her own life. And I understand that. You and I must get there. You and I are not made in the public eye. We are made in the private times of our lives. It is not when we're seen that our preaching is made. Our preaching is made in the dark corner. It's made in the private time of study and prayer. Oh, tonight it's not in the venue of a camp meeting or a pulpit on Sunday morning, but it's made on your knees in prayer. It's made pondering your message in your heart, meditating on God's truth. You see, when Christ died, God turned the lights out at noonday with another darkness, a great darkness, because God did some things to his son in those 3 hours he didn't mean for no human eye to ever see. That's where God put on his son the iniquity of us all. God bruised his son. God placed the condemnation of our sins upon his blessed son on that cross. Did you know it's that way in nature? These green leaves out here, you know what they do? They take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. They take it into the leaf and they transform that carbon dioxide into breathable oxygen. They don't know how it's done. They call it a process of photosynthesis. They don't really know how it is accomplished. It just happens. I say hallelujah tonight. God still does things in the dark corners. God still does things behind closed doors. He's going to meet this little woman's need with nobody else seeing how it's done. The only people that knew how's going to take place was Elisha and the mama and the two boys. Hallelujah. I'm glad God does some things behind the shut door. But what she did was an offering. She had probably told her two sons, boys, this is what your daddy used, being a prophet. And I want you to realize that it's precious to us. And I've told you, boys, we've sold everything else. But we ain't going to sell this oil. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to keep it as a memento, reminding us of the past. That's what's wrong with a lot of Baptists today. They can't get past the past. She didn't realize it wasn't just a memento of the past. It was the ability to meet her need in the present. But she gathers them two boys in the house. And she said, now boys, the man of God said we were to gather all these empty vessels. And he said, I'm supposed to pour out into those vessels. I could hear one of them boys say, well, Mama, I thought you was going to keep that oil. Because it was Daddy's. She said, I know. But the man of God said, I've got to pour it out. If we're going to get our need met, I've got to be willing to give it back to the Lord. That's what she was doing. She was just giving it back to the Lord. And she was willing to part with it. Tonight, whatever's standing in your way, whatever you're hanging on to, you just need to come and pour it out and give it to the Lord. I say he can take what you and I pour out and multiplied, magnified, and glorified. I say hallelujah. And she started pouring. I could see that little hand trembling. She went to pouring and she filled one pot. And there's still oil in that little cruet of oil. She said, boys, bring me another one. And her hand got a little more steadier. She just kept pouring out. She is trying to pour it out to the Lord. And the more she poured, the more oil come out. She never did pour that little cruet empty. When the oil stayed, that little cruet had as much oil in it when she started. I say, hallelujah, if you'll just give it to God Almighty. He can meet your need. The Bible said, and the oil stayed. That meant it stopped. Not because there wasn't no more oil, it's because there wasn't no more empty vessels. If there had been more empty vessels, the little cruet of oil would have still been a pouring. There's still oil in the cruet of oil. And when the oil stayed, and I'm glad it stayed, hallelujah. She went to the man of God and she said, now what am I supposed to do? He said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. He put things in right order, didn't he? He said, first of all, sell it. And then whatever you get out of it, your first obligation is to pay your debt. And then live thou and thy children of the rest. This is how Baptists want to do it. Lord, I want you to touch my child that's sick. Lord, I want you to answer my prayer and bring my home back together. Lord, I want you to do this and do that. And we never do what's right in the sense that we're going to serve him no matter what happens in our life. This evening, there ought to be some things done in order. We ought to give to God and we ought to pay our debt that we owe. And then he said, live thou and thy children of the rest. He didn't say on the rest. He said of the rest. You see, that oil just didn't stay when she had filled all the empty vessels. That oil was still staying around, hallelujah, because her and her children was a living of it all the rest of the days of their life. And when that mama died and them two boys were still here, they're still living off of that oil. I say hallelujah. There's some things you can do that can be handed down to your children and your grandchildren that money can never buy. It's in the house. Would you stand tonight, Brother Tim, as you come with an invitation?